Have you ever wondered what heaven truly is? Is it a distant place in the clouds, filled with angels playing harps, or a serene garden of eternal rest? While these images are often depicted in art and media, the Bible offers a much more profound and awe-inspiring picture of heaven. What if I told you that heaven is not just a future destination, but a present reality that can transform your life here and now? What if heaven isn't about escaping earth, but about the ultimate union of heaven and earth, a reality that can begin in your heart today? In this video, we will journey through the scriptures, exploring the true nature of heaven as revealed in the Bible. We'll uncover the misconceptions, delve into the promises of God, and examine how the reality of heaven can influence the way we live our lives on earth. Let's embark on this spiritual journey together, discovering that heaven is far more than what we might think. It is the fulfillment of God's plan for humanity, the culmination of His love, and a reality that beckons us to live with purpose, hope, and joy. Heaven as a distant, ethereal place. One of the most common misconceptions about heaven is that it is a far-off, ethereal place, disconnected from our present reality. This idea often paints heaven as a mystical realm where spirits float aimlessly, detached from the physical world. However, the Bible presents a different picture. In Genesis 1 verse 1, we read, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." This verse sets the stage for understanding heaven not as a distant location, but as a realm closely connected to earth. The Hebrew word for heaven, shemayim, implies a sense of elevation or loftiness, but it does not suggest a place completely separate from our world. Instead, heaven and earth are part of God's creation, intricately linked and designed to interact with each other. Heaven as an escape from earth. Another misconception is that heaven is an escape from the struggles and pains of earthly life. While it is true that heaven offers a future hope of eternal peace and joy, the Bible does not teach that we should simply endure life on earth while waiting for our escape to heaven. In fact, Jesus taught us to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven," Matthew 6 verse 10. This prayer reflects the desire for God's heavenly kingdom to be realized here on earth, indicating that heaven is not merely a future destination but a present reality that we are called to participate in. Paul also emphasizes this connection in Romans 8 verses 19 to 21, where he speaks of creation eagerly awaiting the revelation of the children of God, who will bring about the restoration of all things. This passage reminds us that heaven and earth are not meant to be separate, but rather, God's ultimate plan is to unite them in a new creation. Heaven as a place of idleness. Many people envision heaven as a place of eternal rest, where we sit idly by, doing nothing for all eternity. While the Bible does promise rest for the weary, Matthew 11 verse 28, it also speaks of heaven as a place of purposeful activity. In Revelation 22 verse 3, we read, "The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and His servants will serve Him." This verse indicates that heaven will be a place where we actively serve God, engaging in meaningful work that brings glory to Him. The parable of the talents in Matthew 25 verses 14 to 30 also suggests that our faithfulness on earth will be rewarded with greater responsibilities in heaven. Jesus says to the faithful servant, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much," Matthew 25 verse 21. This implies that heaven is not a place of inactivity, but a continuation of our service to God in a glorified state. The biblical vision of heaven. Heaven as the dwelling place of God. The most fundamental truth about heaven is that it is the dwelling place of God. Throughout the Bible, heaven is consistently portrayed as the place where God's presence is fully manifest. In Isaiah 66 verse 1, God declares, "Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool." This imagery emphasizes God's sovereignty over both heaven and earth, with heaven being the seat of His divine authority. The book of Revelation gives us a vivid picture of heaven as the place where God's glory is most fully revealed. In Revelation 4 verses 1 to 11, John is granted a vision of the heavenly throne room, where God is surrounded by worshipers, including the 24 elders and the four living creatures. The scene is one of awe and reverence, as all of heaven resounds with the cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come, Revelation 4 verse 8. Yet, the Bible also tells us that God desires to dwell with his people. In Revelation 21 verse 3, we read, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God.'" This passage points to the ultimate fulfillment of God's plan, to bring heaven and earth together, so that he may dwell with us in a new creation. Heaven as the kingdom of God. Jesus often spoke of heaven in terms of the kingdom of God. In fact, the central message of his ministry was the proclamation of the kingdom of God, which he described as both a present reality and a future hope. In Luke 17 verses 20 to 21, Jesus tells the Pharisees, "The kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is in your midst." The kingdom of God is not limited to a physical location. It is the reign and rule of God in the hearts and lives of his people. When we submit to God's authority and live according to his will, we begin to experience the reality of heaven on earth. This is why Jesus taught his disciples to pray for God's kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, Matthew 6 verse 10. However, the Bible also speaks of a future fulfillment of the kingdom of God, when Christ will return to fully establish his reign. In Revelation 11 verse 15, we read, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever." This verse points to the ultimate victory of Christ, when heaven and earth will be united under his rule. Heaven as the new creation. One of the most powerful images of heaven in the Bible is that of the new creation. In Revelation 21 verses 1 to 2, John describes a vision of the new heaven and new earth. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband." This imagery of the new creation reflects the culmination of God's redemptive plan. Heaven is not just a place where we go after we die. It is the final and complete restoration of all things. In the new creation, there will be no more death, mourning, crying, or pain, for the old order of things will have passed away, Revelation 21 verse 4. The promise of the new creation is rooted in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Just as Christ was raised from the dead, so too will all of creation be renewed and restored. Paul speaks of this hope in Romans 8 verses 22 to 23, where he writes, "We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies." In the new creation, heaven and earth will be united as one, and God will dwell with his people forever. This is the ultimate hope of the Christian faith, the restoration of all things and the fulfillment of God's perfect plan. Biblical examples of heaven's reality. Enoch and Elijah, foreshadowing the reality of heaven. Two of the most intriguing figures in the Bible who provide us with glimpses of heaven are Enoch and Elijah. Both men experienced extraordinary departures from this world that foreshadow the reality of heaven and the eternal life that God promises to his people. Enoch's story is brief but powerful. Genesis 5 verse 24 tells us, "Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more, because God took him away." The writer of Hebrews elaborates on this event, stating, "By faith Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found, because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God," Hebrews 11 verse 5. Enoch's translation into heaven without experiencing death serves as a powerful testimony to the reality of eternal life in God's presence. Elijah, the great prophet, also experienced an extraordinary departure from earth. In 2 Kings 2 verse 11, we read, "As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind." Elijah's ascension into heaven in a chariot of fire symbolizes the divine nature of heaven and the promise of eternal life for those who remain faithful to God. Both Enoch and Elijah's experiences point to the reality that heaven is not merely a distant future hope, but a present reality that God's faithful can experience, even in extraordinary ways. Jesus' resurrection and ascension, the foretaste of heaven. The resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ are central events in the Christian faith that provide us with a clear understanding of heaven's reality. Jesus' resurrection from the dead is the ultimate demonstration of God's power over sin and death, and it serves as a foretaste of the resurrection life that believers will experience in heaven. In John 20 verses 19 to 20, we read about Jesus' appearance to his disciples after his resurrection. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Jesus' resurrection body was both physical and glorified, showing us that heaven is not a place of disembodied spirits, but a reality where our bodies will be transformed and glorified. Jesus' ascension into heaven further reveals the reality of heaven. In Acts 1 verses 9 to 11, we read, "After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. 'Men of Galilee,' they said, 'why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven.'" Jesus' ascension assures us that he is now seated at the right hand of God in heaven, interceding for us and preparing a place for us in the Father's house. John 14 verses 2 to 3. Stephen's vision, a glimpse of heaven's glory. The story of Stephen, the first Christian martyr, provides us with a powerful glimpse of heaven's glory. As Stephen was being stoned to death for his bold proclamation of the gospel, he was granted a vision of heaven that filled him with peace and courage. In Acts 7 verses 55 to 56, we read, "But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. 'Look,' he said, 'I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.'" Stephen's vision of heaven gave him the strength to endure suffering and death with unwavering faith. His experience reminds us that heaven is not just a future promise, but a present reality that can sustain us in the face of trials and persecution. Stephen's vision also reveals the intimate connection between heaven and earth. Jesus, who had ascended to heaven, was not distant or detached from Stephen's suffering. Instead, he stood at the right hand of God, ready to welcome Stephen into his presence. This powerful image of Jesus standing in heaven as Stephen's advocate and comforter offers us profound encouragement as we navigate the challenges of life. How heaven shapes our daily lives. Understanding the truth about heaven should radically shape the way we live our lives on earth. One of the most significant ways it does this is by giving us an eternal perspective. When we realize that our ultimate destiny is to dwell with God in the new creation, we begin to see our lives on earth through the lens of eternity. Paul encourages us to live with this perspective in Colossians 3 verses 1 to 2. "Since, then, you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things." When we set our hearts and minds on the things of heaven, we are reminded that our true citizenship is in heaven, Philippians 3 verse 20. And this frees us from being overly attached to the fleeting things of this world. Jesus also taught us to live with an eternal perspective when he said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal." Matthew 6 verses 19 to 20. By focusing on heavenly treasures, such as loving God and others, seeking justice, and living righteously, we align our lives with God's eternal purposes. Finding hope in heaven's promises. The truth about heaven also fills us with hope, especially in times of suffering and loss. The Bible offers us the assurance that heaven is a place of eternal joy, peace, and rest in God's presence. In Revelation 21 verse 4, we are given the beautiful promise that He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. This hope of heaven is not wishful thinking. It is grounded in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because Christ has conquered death and risen to eternal life, we too can have confidence that we will share in his victory. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15 verses 54 to 55, "When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" This hope enables us to endure the trials and tribulations of life with courage and faith. It reminds us that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Romans 8 verse 18. The knowledge that heaven awaits us gives us the strength to persevere, knowing that our pain and struggles are temporary, but the joy of heaven is eternal, living a life of purpose and service. The reality of heaven also inspires us to live lives of purpose and service. When we understand that our time on earth is preparation for eternity, we are motivated to use our gifts, talents, and resources to serve God and others. Jesus taught that the greatest commandment is to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and the second is to love our neighbor as ourselves, Matthew 22 verses 37 to 39. This call to love is the foundation of a life that is aligned with heaven's values. The parable of the talents in Matthew 25 verses 14 to 30 further emphasizes the importance of living a life of purpose and service. In this parable, Jesus describes a master who entrusts his servants with various amounts of money, talents, and then goes on a journey. Upon his return, the master rewards the servants who used their talents wisely and faithfully, while the servant who buried his talent out of fear is rebuked. This parable teaches us that God has given each of us unique gifts and opportunities, and we are called to use them to further his kingdom and bring glory to his name. Paul echoes this sentiment in Ephesians 2 verse 10, where he writes, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Our good works do not earn us a place in heaven, but they are the natural outflow of a heart transformed by God's grace and a life oriented towards eternity, cultivating a heart of worship. Finally, the truth about heaven calls us to cultivate a heart of worship. In heaven, God is worshiped continually by all of creation. Revelation 4 verses 8 to 11 paints a picture of unceasing worship, as the four living creatures and the 24 elders fall down before God's throne, proclaiming, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." As we await the full realization of heaven, we are invited to join in this heavenly worship here on earth. Worship is not just an activity reserved for church services, it is a way of life. Paul urges us in Romans 12 verse 1 to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. When we live lives that honor God in every aspect, our thoughts, actions, relationships, and work, we participate in the worship of heaven. Moreover, worship is a source of strength and encouragement as we navigate the challenges of life. The psalmist declares in Psalm 73, verses 25 to 26, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." When we worship God, we are reminded of his greatness, his love, and his promises, which sustain us in every season of life. Heaven is not what you think. It is far more glorious, more real, and more present than we often realize. The Bible reveals that heaven is the dwelling place of God, the kingdom of God, and the ultimate fulfillment of his plan for creation. It is a reality that intersects with our lives here and now, calling us to live with purpose, hope, and joy. As we have explored the truth about heaven, we have seen that it is not a distant, ethereal place, but a present reality that can transform our lives. It is not an escape from earth, but the fulfillment of God's plan to unite heaven and earth in a new creation. Heaven is a place of worship, service, and eternal joy in God's presence, and it is a reality that beckons us to live with an eternal perspective. So, Let us fix our eyes on heaven, setting our hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, Colossians 3:1-2. Let us live with the hope of heaven, knowing that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us, Romans 8:18. Let us serve God with all our hearts, using the gifts and talents He has given us to further His kingdom. And let us worship Him with all that we are, for He is worthy of all glory, honor, and praise. May the truth about heaven fill you with hope, inspire you to live with purpose, and draw you closer to the God who loves you and has prepared a place for you in His eternal kingdom. Heaven is not what you think. It is so much more. And the best part is, it's a reality that you can begin to experience today as you walk with God and live for His glory. Mark 11:24 says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Join me as we go to the Lord in prayer. Open your heart and believe so that the blessings of this prayer will come to you. Say this prayer with faith. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you today. You are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You, the Lord, you created the earth and the heavens and all that is in them. I give you all the praise and glory. Thank you, God, for everything you have done in my life. I'm grateful for the good things and even the tough times. You've been with me through it all, and for that, I say thank you from the bottom of my heart. God of mercy and compassion, please look with pity on me. I know I have sinned against you. I ask for your forgiveness. Father, Lord, have mercy on my mistakes and failures. Every mistake I have done in word, action, and deeds, Father, forgive me. For your word clearly says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for forgiving me. Now in the name of Jesus, I declare the power of God against any work of the enemy. Every secret agenda the devil and his cohorts have plotted against me be destroyed in Jesus' mighty name. Father, your word said Christ was manifested that the works of the enemy might be destroyed. Every work of the enemy against my marriage, my job, my business, my career, my family, and children be destroyed in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name, I declare fruitfulness in every area of my life. Let the power of Christ touch my life so I bear fruit. I am fruitful in my life, in my ministry, in my marriage, in my business, in my career, in my job, and in my finances, for the Lord gives us power to make wealth. Let prosperity be my portion in Jesus' name. I will not lack but have in abundance. Lord, I want to serve you with all my heart. Anything that hinders my service, Father, deliver me. God, save me from myself. Save me from people who will not lead me to you. Save me from desires which are not godly, things which are not in line with your word. Father, help me obey your word. Sometimes the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Lord, make me strong. Make me fervent in you. Restore unto me, Lord, the joy of my salvation. Father, restore all the things I have lost, either by my ignorance or carelessness. You said in your word that the years the locust has eaten in our lives, you will restore us. Thank you, Lord, for restoring me, my family, my marriage, my career, and my ministry. Father, you sent forth your word to heal our diseases and sicknesses. I declare your healing from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. Father, heal my family, friends, and loved ones. Let your healing be their portion too. I boldly declare that I am a child of God. I walk in victory through faith. I am the head and never the tail. I am what God says I am in Jesus' mighty name. I boldly declare Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you, my Father God, for hearing my prayer and answering my prayer. Amen. As this message has blessed you, type the word Amen in the comment section and share with us your testimony too in the comment section. In the name of Jesus Christ, all these blessings have come upon you now. Beloved, help us spread the gospel of Christ and reach more people all over the world by liking this video and sharing this message with your family, friends, and loved ones. We really appreciate your great support. We plead with you to subscribe so you can receive more videos that will revive your spirit and uplift your life. Christ came that all people will be saved. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, this is the right time to do so. Say this after me. Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and because of me, you came to die on the cross of Calvary. Father, forgive me of all my sins. Today, I boldly declare that you are my Lord and personal Savior. Come into my heart and lead me. As you have said this prayer, congratulations, you have been born again. Please look for a pastor in a Bible-believing church and tell him you have given your life Christ. You will need to fellowship with other believers to learn about your new life. Prayer is a very powerful tool God has given us. With prayer, our problems receive solution and we get comforted by God. Please leave your prayer request in the comment section. We are constantly interceding on your behalf before God. Trust me, friends. Our God will answer your every prayer request. Sometimes we may not reply to your prayer request in the comment section, but that does not mean we are not praying for you. We have you at heart and your requests. May the grace of our Jesus Christ and the love of God be with you now and forevermore. Amen.